As a thank you for listening to the NASM CPT podcast, I've got a special offer for you. 20% off of any NASM order. You can use that 20% to get certified as a personal trainer through our CPT program, the standard for the fitness industry, or expand your career with one of our specializations, including our latest one, NASM Nutrition Certification, which gives you the skills to be a certified nutrition coach. Get 20% off your order by calling 800-460-6276 or visiting NASM.org and using the code PODCAST20. That's 800-460-6276, and the discount code is PODCAST20. Start changing even more lives today.
You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Thank you for tuning in. This is the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and I'm going to talk today about what I find to be pretty interesting, and I think it's quite a buzz right now with the training community, and has been for quite some time. It's high-intensity interval training, high-intensity training, and what we call sprint interval training, and all of these things are means of very high-intensity work that produces excellent results. And today, I've got a PowerPoint pulled up that the content when a lot was provided from a mentor of mine, and he was my dissertation chair when I was working on my dissertation. His name is Dr. Brian Odie, and he helped me out a lot during school, and he helped me out with this presentation. So put together some wonderful things. So let's talk about what are the differences from some of these things that we keep talking about, because high intensity interval training might be different and have different applications and different names. So there is this high intensity interval training or high intensity training. It usually is including things like strength training, not limited to it. There's high intensity functional training. And that can be a lot like, think about CrossFit or High Rocks and different Jim Jones, things like that. It could be high-intensity functional training. They have resistance training, but there are a lot of other components that may go into it. And then there's high-intensity tactical training, and that's pretty similar to the functional training, high-intensity functional training, but it's military-specific. High-intensity interval training, that's going to be about 80 to 95% of your max heart rate. That's pretty intense. That's a lot of work, right? You're getting your heart rate up there, and your rest is going to either be equal or it's going to be longer. And that's you know, other things like Tabata we see as certainly the rest time is actually shorter. But here we're looking at work to rest ratios like 1:1, 1:2, 1:3 for high intensity training. And then there's sprint interval training. Now, sprint interval training is all out. Go for it. You're going as hard as you can, as fast as you can. And that work-to-rest ratio is going to be totally different because what we're trying to do is maintain both intensity and output. And when you get to some of the high-intensity interval training and they have very little rest, their outputs oftentimes are terrible, but their intensity remains high. When we look at sprint interval training, we want those sprint outputs to maintain its elevation. Why? Because we want to practice getting faster at what we're doing. So when we look at that, that sprint training is going to require sometimes a 1:8 work ratio. And there are a lot of researchers out there that think 1:8 work to rest ratio is actually too little, and we need a lot more rest. And you know, they might be looking at a 1:10 or a 1:12. Problem is, how much time you got in your day, right? Like, you can only do so much stuff if you're waiting around for that long. But I will say this, we'll get to some of the research, and the research does show work to rest ratio in sprint interval training where it's like a 30 second on, and then it's a 4 minute off, and it's still shorter than a traditional workout, and those outcomes are pretty spectacular. So I'm looking forward to getting to that stuff and talking to you about it. But why do we add this high intensity, the speed into our workouts? Well, it's time, right? Like a lot of time, we can get a lot of stuff done. It's effective and how it does. The results are there when it comes to both health and performance. And it provides variety. You got stuff to do, things that are different. And then one thing also to point out that I think is important is that it's relatively safe. And in our minds, we first think, man, you start to go fast with things. It's about to get crazy. We're going to increase the chance of someone getting hurt. I'm saying if you do things properly and you increase your warm up and you make sure that you're doing things appropriately, then, and that warm up being about 5 to 10 minutes, cool down looking to be about the same. Generally, these things can last between 20 and 30 minutes. They can go up to like 60 minutes if you've got that. But generally, the high intensity and sprint interval training workouts, yeah, 20, 30 minutes. The idea is you're trying to get your heart rate up really high. And during the rest, you want your, so, and remember that heart rate is between 80 and 95% of your max heart rate. So what's your rest? Well, really your rest, you're trying to get down to about 40 to 50% of your max heart rate. And then your optimal work to rest interval for high intensity interval training is going to be like a 1 to 2, 1 to 3. Now, when people are doing, a lot of times they do classes, they don't provide those, and that's not optimizing the high intensity. Now, I will say this, I don't have any research pulled up right now about for people who just go and go high intensity for as long as they can. But the whole point of high intensity interval training is that they are intervals. So that work to rest interval being 1 to 2, it doesn't mean that, let's say that you're doing a 30 second work and then you're going to take a break for 60 seconds. It doesn't mean that you just sit there. You can. I actually did that this morning with one of my clients. We did 30 seconds high intensity work and gave him 60 seconds off to recover, so that he could accomplish the next 30 seconds that were going to be high intensity. And it's the same exercise he was doing before. So he was getting more and more tired as we did it. And we ran through 4 sets of that. So you have to identify what that looks like. But could I have had him do something else? Yeah, I could have had him do some stuff. His heart rate still lowered down, but he could have been doing some, you know, lower intensity leg exercises like single leg balance, or he could have been doing some excursions. He could have been doing some leg swings, something like that to keep him working. But still, it's compared to a shorter program. It's still shorter. It's still shorter. And it makes it easier for some people to fit it into their schedule. You know, you can be doing this 1 to 4 times a week. It just depends on the goals. But we've got some research from Martin et al. In 2008 says that 6-week phases, results get to be seen within the first 2 weeks. For high-intensity interval training, when you're looking at weight loss goals, then that can be very positive regarding feedback from your clients when they're starting to see some results. So what are the benefits of high-intensity interval training? Well, it's time-efficient. There are benefits for your fitness and for your health, aerobic and anaerobic performance, improvements in fat or beta acid oxidation. We got improvement in blood pressure, cardiorespiratory health, cholesterol profiles, abdominal fat, body weight, hormone responses, glucose sensitivity, and we're looking at an EPOC, which is that excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. And I just want to pump the brakes on that for a minute. That is good information, but it looks better on paper, as Dr. Odie says. He says it's and it is true. It sounds really good that you're going to burn more energy post-workout, but the amount of calories that get metabolized post-workout look better on paper. They really aren't that elevated. So don't depend on EPOC for the weight loss, that you're going to be able to maintain that afterburn for an incredible long period of time and be able to get a lot of calories post-exercise. Anyway, sprint interval training, moving on. It's going to be shorter duration workloads and all-out effort. It's all, you gotta, this is 100% go, right? It's different from more conventional high intensity things just because of that. So it's that super max, and the durations are going to be shorter and the rest is going to be longer. And I have a friend of mine, when I did a project with a Technogym at their showroom in New York City, and I brought a friend of mine, and she does a lot of high intensity interval training. And I had her be my model on the treadmill when we were doing the skill run that they had over there. And she did her intensity, right? So she was going 30 seconds on, had 4 minutes off, and she's in incredible shape. She was dying at the all-out sprint, but she did it all out. And by the time first 4 minutes, it didn't seem like really a big deal. Second 4 minutes, you know, it took her a little bit longer to get her heart rate down. Third 4 minutes, she was struggling. And then she had her fourth round to do. And at the end of her fourth, she just kept lying down on the ground. She was so tired. And I'm not saying this because this is, we want to push our people so hard, but she's fit enough that she could push herself that hard. And that's what her all out effort looks like. So I've done it before. I've had other people do it. It's a lot of work. And then when I asked her about it, what she thought, she was like, man, that was hard. It was terrible. And it was amazing at the same time. And that's some of the research that I've been getting back from that I found, even with cardiovascular patients, so patients with coronary artery disease that do high intensity interval training, you would think that that would be not so good for them. And yet the research showed incredible benefits from it. And not only that, when they were asked what they thought versus this moderate intensity continuous training, what they thought, and they liked the high intensity interval training more. They said it was harder, it was more difficult, but they felt more accomplished afterwards. And that they, when they were asked what they would like to do again, then the majority of the people said that they wanted to do the high intensity training again. So, you know, I thought that was very interesting. And then we have similar benefits from sprint interval training when you put this together and you're looking at increasing your VO2 max, your endurance, your peak power, anaerobic threshold, of course, burning calories before and after a workout, which is that EPOC, and then the cardiometabolic health benefits, so muscle oxidative capacity, insulin sensitivity, those kind of things become very beneficial. So now, with that said, let's get into the research. Here we go. What we're looking at for shorter sprint interval training bouts, and they target this peak power generation. So what is the most amount of power that you can generate and increase your exercise energy expenditure without compromising your post-exercise energy expenditure? So we're going to look at things like, you can do shorter and longer bouts, but you can do a 30-second on and 4 minutes off. So it's 240 seconds off. So 30 seconds on, 4 minutes off, and think about doing like four rounds of that. You know, four rounds of that. So by the end of it, you're less than 20 minutes in that workout. And you're 16 minutes of resting, and you're only 2 minutes, right? You're only 2 minutes of actual exercising during that time. But it's all out effort. You can do shorter. You can go 15 seconds on, and 120 seconds off, that's 2 minutes off. You can go 5 seconds on and 40 seconds off. You can do that and get 24 of those. So 24 times you'd be doing 5 seconds on and 40 seconds off. And this is done by Islam et al. The research he did was in 2017, put that together. Townsend et al. 2017, shorter work bouts may also be more physiologically appealing, given their ability to improve exercise-related parameters, such as effect, self-efficacy, and enjoyment. And that goes back to what I was talking about with the coronary artery group. Studies also show that we're going to compare similar work equivalents, so the kilojoules per training session using high intensity versus moderate intensity continuous protocols, that the results for body fat and fat loss and abdominal fat loss are very similar, but the change was the amount of time that was spent actually working to those ends. Now, more, let's get into it. Incorporating high intensity intervals into exercise program produced significantly greater reductions in skin fold body fat measurements than those moderate intensity continuous aerobic group. So those are the ones, high intensity versus the ones who are going for moderate intensity continuous, which means like a longer run. And then we also see an increase in three classes of hormones that you'd be looking at, which help to burn fat, which would be IGF-1, catecholamines, and then we also see a decrease in cortisol. And 6 minutes of intense interval training can elevate norepinephrine by up to 14.5 times, and epinephrine by 6.3 times greater than levels at baseline. And those are some of the catecholamines that I was talking about just a moment ago. Now, what does it say in the literature additionally? Well, you can increase your fat-free mass. Your waist measurements tend to decrease. You got body fat reduction with that, reduction in subcutaneous and visceral fat. So here we go. I want to look at a study. So there are two studies, and then I will let y'all go. But the two studies that I really want to focus on are here. And it says we're going to look at Haifeng et al., 2015, examined the effect that high-intensity interval training had on abdominal fat. Now, there were some other things that were looked at, but abdominal fat's the one that I want to focus on. The high-intensity interval training protocol was 4 minutes of running and 4 minutes of resting on a treadmill. And they were going between 85 and 95% of their heart rate max, or their heart rate peak. And then they had, Let me rephrase that. It was four times they did a four-minute workout, and then they did a 10-minute rest in between. So they worked out hard, 4 minutes, elevated heart rate, high intense work, and at the end of it, they took a 10-minute break, and then they did another 4 minutes, took a 10-minute break, another 4 minutes in. So they did this four times. Compared to the moderate intensity continuous training group, so the people who went for a run, and it equated to about the same time, so a 33-minute run, training times were determined based off of oxygen cost being equivalent. So it's the same amount of oxygen consumed in each group. Similar anthropometric characteristics, which basically means they're different shapes. So they're similar in shape and they're randomized into each group. So here's what happened. The intervention resulted in a similar reduction in body fat between the high intensity interval training group and the continuous exercise group. So it was a decrease of approximately about 7% in body fat between each group. But here's the thing, and this was significant. The significant difference was abdominal fat reduction in the high-intensity interval group. So we saw a decrease of about 11% in for abdominal fat in the continuous exercise group, and a decrease of about 19.5% in the subcutaneous fat, abdominal fat, for the group that did the high-intensity interval training. But that's not all. There was a decrease of about 8% visceral abdominal fat in the continuous exercise group, a decrease in 18%. A decrease in 18%. Of the visceral fat. Visceral fat is fat that's not just underneath the skin, but it's the fat that's around the organs, the viscera. 18% decrease in visceral abdominal fat. That's amazing. And it's the visceral abdominal fat that tends to be more contraindicated. So when you see elevations in visceral fat, then those tend to be more contraindicated, which means that when that's exists, then there are more pathologies that can be associated with it. Morbidity and mortality rates are associated with it. So that was a huge finding. That's a very, very impressive. Now we're going to look at Hazel et al. In 2014. And check this out. This is about sprint interval training and for fat loss in women. So they assessed these folks and they did their body composition, weight circumferences, VO2 max, peak running speed, blood lipid profile. They had 15 recreationally active women, so they're already recreationally active. They do stuff. They had them run sprints. They ran 4 to 6 all-out sprints for 30 seconds, and then they took a 4-minute rest. They did 3 times a week for 6 weeks. So one more time, they did a run, 4 to 6 of all-out sprints, 30 seconds with 4 minutes of rest. So that's a 1 to 8 work-to-rest ratio, 3 times a week for 6 weeks. All right, here's what happened. Body fat mass decreased by 8%. Waist circumference decreased by 3.5%. What increased? Fat-free mass. So their muscle mass went up by 1.3%. Their max oxygen consumption went up obviously their running speed went up. These are wonderful benefits. And when people talk about high intensity interval training, they talk about sprint training, there are reasons why it's become so popular. People like it and it works. It's got huge benefits. One of the things that I would like to encourage the fitness community out there listening is to maybe focus a little bit more on those intervals and providing some rest in between, because sometimes it's just go, right? So to add the active rest into those rest components, or to add just the rest into the rest components, so that you don't always have somebody just work, work, work. And it happens a lot in group classes more than it happens one-on-one in personal training. But there are a lot of things that you can do that take intensity up and lower it down. Same thing in fight sports. Like when people go into the ring or the octagon or whatever it is and they engage in combat sports, they can't go 100% for those 3-minute or 5-minute rounds. So they slow down, speed up, they pick their intensity. Here, it's not picked. You pick it as a trainer and make it very focused. And you're going to say, let's do this for X amount of seconds, right? Let this work, and it's going to be high intensity, and then let's back off of it. So if you were to do that for me, like just thinking about if I had wanted to do high intensity interval training on a heavy bag and had somebody boxing or had somebody kicking, I would have them punching the bag fast, hard, working as hard as they can for 30 seconds. But then I could also have them back off and maybe just say, hey, instead of punching the bag, we're just going to do some low intensity knees or kicks to the bag. So your arms are getting a break. That way, when you get back to your arms, you can go all in with the arm work and get that extra 30 seconds at a high intensity again. Or you can just keep it low intensity, hitting the bag, and then go high intensity, hitting the bag again. It's just an example. So now apply that to your functional training, and you're going to be doing that with your band work, your cable work, your resistance training, your loaded carries, your jumps, your drills, all of that stuff, applying back to it. But add some very specific work to rest ratio times there. This is what we're going to do today. Plan your day out. Identify what it is you're going to do and say, hey, these are the ratios we're going to be working at today. And I encourage it. I say, you know, try your next session with the clients that you feel this is appropriate for. Have them go into some high intensity work before they go into straight up sprint work, but have them do a 30 second on and then take a 4-minute break, 240 seconds off. Take a 4-minute break. But in that 4-minute break, you can still be doing stuff that's active. But when you get back to the 30 second work, it's time to work. All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. My name is Rick. This is the NASM CPT podcast. I look forward to hearing more from you and what you want to hear about. Keep giving your feedback on Instagram and on our email. You can hit me up at rick.ritchie@nasm.org, or you hit me up at dr.rickritchie on Instagram, or you can hit up NASM on Instagram. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.